I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, May 11th. A former Quincy man has had his life sentence reduced after he was convicted of building a bomb that killed a Boston police officer and severely injured his partner 30 years ago. 65-year-old Alfred Trenkler asked for a reduced sentence, saying he was afraid of contracting COVID-19. A federal judge reduced his life sentence to 41 years in prison, followed by 5 years probation. Trenkler will serve out the remainder of his prison term at a federal penitentiary in Devens, Massachusetts, instead of his current facility in Arizona. Trenkler was convicted of building a bomb that killed Boston police officer Jeremiah Hurley and injured his partner Francis Foley in 1991. Thomas Shea had hired Trenkler to build that bomb to kill his father in order to collect insurance money. Shea was also convicted but was released in 2009 in a plea deal. Renovations to the North Quincy branch of the Thomas Crane Public Library should be completed by September. Officials say the 60-year-old building is getting a $2 million overhaul, including a new roof, windows, flooring, and new electrical and ventilation systems. The library has been closed since August of 2019, when asbestos was discovered after a small section of ceiling collapsed from a roof leak. Asbestos was professionally removed, and the entire building and its contents had to be cleaned. Officials say the project will make the building more energy efficient with ADA-accessible bathrooms. Library Director Megan Allen says the North Quincy branch is the most popular branch of the library system. The Adam Shore branch is now open for in-person browsing, and the main branch is expected to open to the public in early June. The Wollaston branch will remain closed but is offering curbside pickup. Governor Baker is scheduled to join President Biden virtually today for a bipartisan event touting the state's progress with the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Baker is among six governors, three Democrats and three Republicans participating in the event today with Biden to talk about how to push toward the White House's goal of at least partially vaccinating 70% of American adults by July 4th. The governors of Ohio, Utah, Maine, Minnesota, and New Mexico are also slated to join. Massachusetts was one of three states that recently received a shout-out from White House Coronavirus Response Advisor Andy Slavitt for already hitting that 70% threshold. Federal data suggests that Bay Staters have the lowest vaccine hesitancy rate in the country. During a press conference at the Manatt Community Health Center Vaccination Clinic in Quincy yesterday, Governor told reporters that the event today with Biden is basically to talk about how to reach and deliver vaccines to either folks that are part of what we would call the hesitant community or folks who were part of communities that are just hard to reach and need more help to get vaccinated. Baker said he would talk about the state's partnership with community health centers like Manatt and mobile clinics to administer vaccines. The new red and orange line MBTA cars will stay off the tracks after engineers found a manufacturing problem that may have led to an orange line derailment in March. Deputy General Manager Jeff Gonville says it's taken months to identify the problem in the CRRC-produced cars because the agency had to develop a test rig at Wellington Station. That rig calculates the force on a new car's truck frame, the chassis beneath the subway car, as it turns. He said the test showed that the truck frames need more force to turn the longer they travel, which is not as designed. He attributed the problem to pads installed on the truck frames to regulate the force on the truck as it turns. Gonville compared the problem to faulty brake pads in a car. The pads on the new trains assist with turning, not braking, but it is the same fundamental problem. They're introducing unintended resistance to the truck frame as they age. Gonville said the new trains were made out of service. Until engineers can confirm that the pads are the root cause of the problem and start making revisions. An update on the reintroduction of the cars is expected next month. It is another setback in the T's effort to completely replace the aging fleets on the red and orange lines. The project has been beset by multiple delays after the new Orange Line trains were pulled from service three times between September of 2019 and March of 2020. A school bus driver accused of having a loaded gun on his bus has pleaded not guilty to the charges against him. 65-year-old David Tripp of Norfolk was arraigned in Wrentham District Court yesterday. He surrendered his gun and state FID card to police. According to Norfolk police, students at King Philip Regional Middle School found the gun on a seat in the back of Tripp's bus last Thursday. None of the students touched the gun. A parent called police Thursday night to report what happened. After an investigation, officers determined the gun fell out of Tripp's pocket while he was cleaning up the bus after dropping off Norfolk Elementary School students. No elementary school students came in contact or saw the gun, according to police. When the gun was later found by the middle school students, Tripp allegedly took the gun, put it in his pocket, and continued on his route without contacting police or the school. There were about 12 middle school students on the bus at the time. Police say a man who witnessed an attempted robbery at the Franklin Park golf course stopped the incident when he pulled out a gun and fired a warning shot on Sunday afternoon. 38-year-old Wayne Strew of Dorchester was arrested and charged with aggravated assault. Strew allegedly approached a woman working on the course and attempted to rob her. Boston police said Strew put his hands around the woman's neck and threatened to kill her. The man who pulled the gun is a chef at the course and has a license to carry. Says he stands by his actions. Police said Strew walked toward the man and reached into his waistband while making threats. That's when police said the man fired one shot away from any persons or property. As a result, other people in the area called 911. Police rushed to the scene and arrested Strew. The chef, who didn't want to be identified, said he would do it again to protect his business and his employee. The man voluntarily turned over his gun and license to carry to police. Strew was arraigned yesterday in West Roxbury District Court. A group of clergy members in Boston is offering a large self-funded reward for information about a shooting that led to the death of a 73-year-old woman in Dorchester. Delois Brown, a grandmother, was fatally struck by gunfire while sitting on the front porch of her Olney Street home on April 10th. Suffolk DA's office says the investigation into Brown's death remains open and active. The clergy group held a news conference yesterday to announce the $10,000 reward for information that will lead to the arrest and conviction of Brown's killer. Clergy members are convinced that someone in the community knows the shooter responsible for Brown's death. Well, as the Bruins played their last home game of the regular season, capacity at the TD Garden doubled. Prior to yesterday, just over 2,000 fans were allowed into the Garden to watch the Bruins play. As vaccination numbers increased in Massachusetts, so did the venue's capacity, expanding to allow roughly 4,500 fans at yesterday's game against the Islanders. The expanded crowd size didn't only apply to the Garden, but all stadiums across Massachusetts. The same day, amusement parks were allowed to reopen at 50% capacity, and road races could resume again. The reopening step comes a few months before the date Massachusetts is set to fully reopen, August 1st. At a news conference, the governor said that date could get pushed up sooner, depending on vaccination numbers. So far, Massachusetts is a nationwide leader, with more than 4 million adults having received at least one shot and nearly 3 million fully vaccinated. At the current pace, the state is on schedule to have 4.1 million people, the Baker administration's initial goal, fully vaccinated by early June. Massachusetts gas prices are on the rise in the wake of the Colonial Pipeline cybersecurity attack. Gas is now averaging $2.86 per gallon in the state, up 6 cents from last week. The attack shut down the pipeline, which runs from Texas to New York and delivers about 45% of all fuel on the East Coast. Colonial Pipeline said it hopes to have service mostly restored by the end of the week. The FBI said the ransomware attack had been carried out by a criminal gang known as DarkSide, which cultivates a Robin Hood image of stealing from corporations and giving a cut to charity. In response to the attack, the Biden administration loosened regulations for the transport of petroleum products on the highways as part of an all-hands-on-deck effort to avoid disruptions in the fuel supply. The average price of gas in Massachusetts is 10 cents lower than the national average of $2.96 a gallon. Today's gas prices in the state are 92 cents higher than they were a year ago. U.S. regulators yesterday expanded the use of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine to children as young as 12, offering a way to protect the nation's adolescents before they head back to school in the fall, paving the way for them to return to more normal activities. Shots could begin as soon as Thursday after a federal vaccine advisory committee issues recommendations for using the two-dose vaccine in 12 to 15-year-olds. An announcement's expected Wednesday. Republicans are preparing to launch an all-out assault on sweeping voting rights legislation, forcing Democrats to take dozens of politically difficult votes during a committee hearing that will spotlight the increasingly charged national debate over access to the ballot. The bill, as written, would bring about the largest overhaul of U.S. elections in a generation, touching on almost every aspect of the electoral process. Democrats say the changes are even more important now as Republican-controlled states impose new voting restrictions after the divisive 2020 election. Amid growing pressure on the Hollywood Foreign Press Association from studios, stars, and large swaths of the film industry, NBC said yesterday it will not air the Golden Globes in 2022, putting in doubt the viability of one of Hollywood's oldest and most watched award shows. Criticism of the HFPA, which puts on the Globes and has been denounced for lack of diversity and for ethical improprieties, reached such a pitch yesterday that Tom Cruise returned his three Globes to the Press Association's headquarters, according to a person who was familiar with the decision. A check of business news this morning. Stocks retreated yesterday. The Dow was down 34. The NASDAQ tumbled 350. The S&P dropped 44. Shares dropped in Asia today after selling of several big tech companies pulled U.S. benchmarks lower. The dollar rose. The euro was up. And oil at $64 a barrel. In sports, the Orioles beat the Red Sox 4-1. Boston opens a series with Oakland at Fenway tonight at 7:10. Bruins get a 3-2 win over the Islanders in overtime. They'll be in Washington to play the Capitals tonight at 7 p.m. The Celtics will host Miami tonight at 7:30. The National Weather Service forecast. For today, some sunshine. It'll be breezy, milder. Highs today in the mid-60s. For tonight, partly cloudy, low of 46. Partly sunny, breezy tomorrow, high 63. Sunny and mild on Thursday with a high 68. Partly sunny and 70 for Friday. For the boater today, waves about 2 feet, a busy west wind at 20 knots, and a high tide right after noon. Sunrise at 5:26, set at 7:54. So again, partly sunny, breezy today, and highs in the mid-60s. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Tuesday, May 11th.